And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 129. We're back. It's Thursday night. We're here to preview the week 6 fab for y'all, talking schedules, two start pitchers, most dropped or most added at CBS, and much, much more. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on the Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Good, man. We fended off the competition. We held off the NFL draft. So now that that is over, round one is over, and my Bills didn't make a pick, we can we have the full sports audience listening to Bubba and the Bloom tonight. But last week it was Taylor Swift's, you know, album release. Tonight it was the draft. And now we have it all to ourselves.
Yes, all to ourselves, just the way we like it. Come get some, as they say. Yeah, it was fun. Draft was fun for those that like football.
Yep. And again, not for Bills fans though. Traded down twice and didn't get to pick, so I get to wait a whole other day for tomorrow.
Who'd they trade their first pick to?
Okay, all right. Let's get on to baseball. let's get on to baseball. We actually do have like a lot. We could have probably made this a 2-hour episode because since Tuesday, like everyone died. Like Wednesday was some of the most like there's a lot of carnage. And not all pitchers. So I think we're going to recap some of those big ones. Thursday was a little bit calmer, but usually Thursdays are calm because a lot of teams are off and traveling. But yeah, Wednesday was tough, man.
It was a rough one, but we'll start with a couple positive notes. Then we'll sprinkle in the death, and then we'll come back with a positive.
Sprinkle in death.
Keep everybody up and down on this one. We'll start with the Toronto Blue Jays. They called up prospect Addison Barger, who played a lot of third base in the minors. He's played left field in his debut. The Jays said he's going to primarily play the outfield, sprinkle in some third base. They also said he's supposed to play every day. As long as he hits, he'll get to stay in the lineup. Well, he didn't play a day two, so he was there in game one, didn't play in game two. But we saw Barger hit .314, three homers to AAA this year in 19 games. What are your thoughts on Barger, who quite the hit tool it looks like? But, you know, the power and speed doesn't like look flashy throughout the minors.
Yeah, that's the problem for me with Barger. 9 homers, 5 steals last year in AAA and like 400 plate appearances. So could have a great hit tool, but I mean, he only hit .250 in AAA last year at that. So I'm very lukewarm. And then you tack on the fact that like, yes, the Blue Jays did say, I guess, that he is going to play every day, but it seems like this is a platoon. And the Blue Jays are doing something different than they actually have done with sitting Barger against a lefty. So I'm not that in on Barger. There are other prospect call-ups that we'll talk about in just a second. Actually, it could be kind of a pretty electric fab weekend that I'm going to be higher on.
Joe Rico in the chat, Toronto Blue Jays expert over here. He says the Jays will play too many games to make Barger worth anyone's time. That's his 2 cents. So could happen. They already showed their hands, it feels like, in this second game.
Playing games with playing time. Okay. Yeah. I got you. I agree.
All right. Well, we'll mix this call up in with the injury news that forced the call up. So Cody Bellinger on Tuesday, rib contusion. That's what we talked about. Rib contusion.
Rib strain, well, which is not possible.
No. So Wednesday, he has a CT scan, I saw, which you don't see very often. He uses MRIs and all that stuff. CT scan for Cody Bellinger, which showed a cracked rib. Now, Bloomfield, where have you heard cracked rib recently?
Yeah.
Tristan Casas. Yes. They said at least a month with Casas, and it's usually up to 12 weeks with a cracked rib because it's all dependent on, you know, healing, what you can do in the process, so on and so forth. Cubs have yet to tell us how long, but my head is at least a month. At least a month is what we're thinking with Bellinger. So the corresponding move with Bellinger is Pete Crow Armstrong, you know, whose mom was the mother in Little Big League, is coming up to the bigs here. What? Pete Crow, yeah, you didn't know that?
Did not know that.
Yeah, when Pete Crow was drafted by the Mets, that was one of the big things on draft day. You saw pictures all over Twitter. His mom was the mother in Little Big League, the one that fell in love with, you know, the old Minnesota Twins player.
Yeah.
So, but Pete Crow Armstrong gets called up, only hitting .203 in AAA this year, 2 homers, 5 steals. Last year hit .271 with 6 homers, 10 steals at AAA, combined 20 homers and 37 steals in AA and AAA. So it's a little power, tons of speed. We'll see about the hit tool. Got his first career hit and home run on Thursday, which was a plus. So what's your thoughts on this whole Bellinger PAC thing or PCA thing.
Yeah, Homer today. Bellinger, Bellinger's a hold. Bellinger's definitely a hold. We talked about how he was off to a pretty good start this time at our last show. Pico Armstrong, like, despite how bad he has been this year in the minors, and, I mean, he didn't really get a chance to really do anything last year in a cup of coffee, was still very highly rated. I think 15th on the HQ prospect list, so we really, really like Pico Armstrong long-term. I'm still skeptical of the playing time, though. Still skeptical of the playing time because, again, what we saw with PCA last year, and granted Bellinger was in the fold back then, was very inconsistent playing time / defensive replacement. And so I hope it's not that this time around, but until we see PCA start a couple times in a row and start against a lefty, I want to see that as a left-handed batter. Make sure that's not a platoon. I'm going to be a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, what I'm thinking right now, just kind of looking at things, I could see PCA potentially platooning with, like, Canario.
I think Canario is actually, like, sneakily, I don't know his roster rates or whatever, but Canario is basically playing every day. I know it's a left field, right field kind of deal, but I think that's kind of the sneaky move here.
I like Canario a lot, too, so that'd be cool. I think we talked about that on Tuesday when Bellinger went out. I'd like to see Canario get some run. So that would be interesting. I guess monitor the weekend is the best thing we can say at this point in time. But there is some talent. Canario's got a ton of power. Batting average could be an issue, but everything else is pretty good. They're a former Giants prospect who had a ton of injuries and had to move on.
Yep.
Jordan Walker sent to AAA. The 21-year-old Jordan Walker was sent to AAA. This happened last year, too. If anybody's keeping track of this at home, 50% ground ball rate. Did have a close to 12% barrel rate and like 40% hard hit rate, which is good, but no homers, no steals on the season. Needs to get his head right for the second straight season in the minor leagues. So what's your thoughts on Jordan Walker going to AAA, Bloomfield?
Well, I want to know your thoughts since you stirred the pot a little bit, calling him or just wondering, maybe speculating, is Jordan Walker a quad A player? So was that in jest? Was that serious? What's the motivation behind that tweet, Bubba?
I think it was a little 50-50. I think it was one of those where it's like I had Matt Thompson on doing Cardinals previews, and he's concerned about the hit tool that needs to develop, and he didn't even think the power would be here this year. Like, he thinks he's a good line drive hitter, but not a power hitter just yet. Again, 21 years old. I get there's plenty of room for development. I've also understood how the Cardinals like to trade away these potential guys to go be good elsewhere. And some people have said, you know, Walker should be playing a corner infield spot, not an outfield spot. There's a lot of truth to a lot of the comments. There's also a lot of homerism to a lot of the hate that I received. So there's a yin and a yang to the conversation. Do I think he's washed up? Not a chance. He's 21. So there's the you know, 50% of me being sarcastic comment. But at the same time, it's like, is he ever going to be this stud guy that everybody wants to draft in fantasy? I don't see that guy yet. And that's more to the way we don't draft prospects, young players. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my thing, is you need to prove it to me. And right now he hasn't proved me anything, like, at all. So I was kind of thinking, well, I can't remember who he talked about the other day being a quad A player. So I just kind of made a joke. Like
Matt Mervis.
Yeah, Matt Mervis. So I just made a joke. I'm like, hey, maybe Walker joins the fray of, you know, he's going to have his moments, but in the end, he's just a quad A player.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know. I don't know. Mervis is like 5 years older than Walker, but you're right. It's supposed to both the way that we draft is if we need to see something at the major league level before we dive in. I think the question is for people out there, like, if you have Walker in a 12 or 15, I think he's a drop, assuming each team has, you know, injuries piling up, whatever. I don't see how he can hold Walker unless you've been running pretty pure on the injury side and just have extra bench spots lying around.
Yeah, 12 is an easy drop. Easy drop for me, 12s. 15s, I can see an argument. Like, if you have room, if your team can hold water, you can hold Walker. But other than that, it's probably a drop because in reality, is it going to be 2 weeks, 2 months? We have zero clue.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I kind of land on it. A, we don't know how long it's going to be, and B, what if he comes back and does the same Jordan Walker thing? So,
well, and plus they have Tommy Edman and
Alec Burleson?
Burleson. Like, they're still a ways away, but they're coming back too. They'll take spots from Walker. So it's kind of one of those deals where it's
No, my bad. Carlson's hurt, but coming back, and Alec Burleson is actually playing left field against right-handed pitching. So Carlson's been out, and Edmund obviously has been out too. But I don't know, Alec Burleson. Maybe we'll talk about the Cardinals schedule in our schedule segment. But actually, looking at their roster, Brendan Donovan's been leading off every day against lefties and righties.
He's been doing that almost all season. He's been kind of formidable too.
Yeah, going between second base and left field. So even more security for Brendan Donovan up top.
And what Matt Thompson said on my show back in the offseason, what makes a lot of sense too, that Walker's future is at first base when Goldie's out of the way. So that's one of those situations as well. So
you mean Oldie?
Yes, Oldie. Yes, well done. Adam Lee makes a great point, which was one of the few good points approached me on Twitter. Maybe the Cardinals' current philosophies aren't cultivating hitters as well as other orgs. That I 100% agree
with. There is absolutely something to that.
Yes.
There's absolutely something to that.
That's why my tongue-in-cheek part is I'm not clowning on Walker as much as the Cardinals just screwing everything up is what it comes down to. And that's just what they continually do, which is makes me laugh. On the flip side on this move, just real briefly, Jose Fermin got called up. He's a middle infield corner, second base, third base type guy, but he's hitting 350 with four homers and five steals in AAA to start the season. Maybe see how they utilize him. This could be a guy, at least in deeper formats, that can get some run.
Okay. I like it.
Blake Snell, IL, adductor strain. He said he had this same injury in 21 and 22, but it was much worse. Took him out a month each time. He says this one's not as bad. They cut it early. We've heard players say this a million times, Bloomfield. He expects to be out for the minimum. I don't care. Like, it's just he needs to get right. Well, I care, but I don't believe anything he has to say until I see him pitching again.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
That's where I'm at with it. How many pitchers like, oh, yeah, I'll be back this weekend. Like, Framber Valdez might be the only guy so far. Like, the only guy that's doing this. Yep. Everyone else is getting set back. So when you're close to returning Snell, then I'll be interested in what you have to say about it.
A little bit of I have Snell and TGFBI. A little bit of addition by subtraction at this point, the way Snell is pitching. But Bubba, this injury did give me the chance to look up at this time last year. Do you know what Blake Snell's ERA was?
Oh, he was bad. I remember
April
he was
25th
very bad.
2023. Yeah, it was a 5.48 ERA, and do I have WHIP? And a 1.87 WHIP this time last year. And he won the Cy Young. I'm not saying Blake Snell is going to come back and do that, whatever. I'm not even making this point around Blake Snell even. It's just a reminder how early we are in the season in terms of performance for a lot of these guys. Blake Snell having that many starts with numbers like that, yet still winning the Cy Young is pretty wild.
Yeah, and I was never going to drop Snell. I'm going to use him when he comes back if I have him. That wasn't my point. I'm just like, yeah, you need to get better and come back and pitch. Like I was excited for him to pitch this week. I wasn't worried about him. Like, I think he's going to be, you know, okay. Like, his peripheral stuff looked better each start. So we'll see.
Any Giant starters we should be interested in?
They only called up a reliever so far because they don't need a starter yet. I'm hoping they call up Mason Black. He's been pitching really well at AAA. Yeah.
And he's not a guy Dalton Jeffries.
No, not Dalton Jeffries. Like, because originally, like, it was going to be Mason Black and Keaton Wynn competing for that spot, and Wynn obviously went out. So I like Black. I'm curious to see what he can do in the big league levels. Like, I wouldn't go crazy on the Fab World for him, but I'm very intrigued that he could get some of my Fab dollars at some point in time if he gets up and gets the job.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it.
Gavin Williams, another setback. I've been holding on. He was real close, apparently. He got it after his last outing, elbow pain again, same pain he felt in spring training. They got him an injection. He's going to be shut down for 7 days before they reevaluate. To me, if he says same pain as before, that means it's like shut down and it's a re-ramp up type thing. He's a drop for me at this point in time.
Agreed. And it's one of those like rehab until you see a setback and then you drop at the setback. So agreed. It sucks. Gavin Williams was super exciting young starting pitcher. You never want to see that happen to some of these guys. And I guess rotation wise for Cleveland, we get more Ben Lively and Carlos Carrasco.
Lively's been decent. Two starts.
His next start is Sunday at Atlanta, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not saying see I'm how, buying into Ben Lively, but I've been very
see how lively you are about him after that start.
Look at you. Look at you. Sometimes you make me proud. You really do. Yeah, no, Lively could be make for some not so lively bids on Sunday if you get shelled. Get him cheap. Start it out there. Yep. But yeah, we'll talk about him later on. Last piece I have here before we get to like one little piece of good news. Brian Bello, he hits the IL with lat tightness. This one stung. There's been no word on a time period yet. This happened on Wednesday. So trust me, I search news all the time. I've not seen an ounce of information on Brian Bello's situation, let alone who's going to replace him in the rotation. Like there's speculation that it's Josh Winkowski, who's got some spot starts. Cooper Criswell's had two spot starts for Garrett Whitlock. He's actually been decent, but it's just like, man. And Nick Pivetta just got announced he has to have a rehab start before he comes back. So yeah. Whoever's taking Bayo's spot probably gets one start essentially before Pivetta comes back, but that's where we're sitting right now.
And yeah, you're probably along the lines of our theme of not wanting to get sucked into some ratio disasters. You're probably not wanting to stream that start anyway, whoever it is coming up for Boston.
Oh, look at Ryan is 10th overall in TGFBI right now. Look at you. Look at 10th. You. And in addition 10th. By subtraction, Blake Snell, huh?
Soon to go down. It'll be, I had Snell, Merrill Kelly, and oof. Some other hitter get hurt this week. So,
well, maybe so one of these fun. Guys, maybe you have one of these guys coming back. Ozzie Albies set to return on Friday for the Atlanta Braves. David Fletcher got sent down on Thursday to make room for Ozzie Albies. JD Martinez, I won't say the nickname because that word apparently offends people. JD Martinez should be back with the Mets on Friday if all goes well. And last but not least, Tommy Pham should join the White Sox this weekend if all goes well. So three pieces coming back after we took away so much from you before that.
Yep, and that's always the best feeling, or one of the best feelings in fantasy baseball, putting that guy back in your lineup. So check those three. I'm sure they're probably rostered everywhere, but if not, maybe take a stab, especially on JD. We've talked about and Pham. We've talked about Pham a good bit as well. So that'll be good. I'm not a doctor, but I'm the Albies return seems like crazily fast.
Yeah,
you know, like it's only been a week, surprised. Right? I mean, it's the minimum, basically.
It was the minimum. Yes, so, I'm very surprised by that.
I'm happy, but I'm also, and I trust that the Braves know what they're doing. But it's also like, that seems very quick. Also, Framber Valdez coming back.
Yep, this week. Sunday in Mexico City.
To pitch in, yeah, not the most. to pitch at altitude. I guess the good news is nobody probably in weekly leagues, you can't do anything about it. You don't have Framber, which may be a blessing in disguise. You don't have Framber active.
We'll see how well that ground ball rate's going in Mexico City.
Yeah. And it is the Rockies. It is the Rockies, but still.
Yeah, ball fly. Ball hit hard. Ball fly. They scored a lot of runs the last two games, actually. I'll give them credit on that.
They have.
Rockies put some runs the last 2 days.
They just needed Nolan Jones out of their lineup, and then look what goes on there.
For anybody playing 12-team OCs, Tommy Pham is not available yet. He's 0% rostered because he has not played yet. I picked him up in a ton of 15s because in 15s he was drafted and dropped. Okay. He was not picked. He was not drafted in any 12s that I can see on the free agent market right now. JD Martinez is rostered at 95% of OCs, so he's pretty much gobbled up everywhere you could think of. And then, Adam Lee, I was probably going to mention this next week, but Adam Lee says Scherzer looking on schedule. Yes. Scherzer threw a rehab start on Wednesday, 4 strikeouts. He's scheduled to throw another rehab start on Tuesday and to get reevaluated. I'd imagine he needs one more, but at the same time, it's Max Scherzer who might give you the whole I'm ready, like Sonny graded. Like I'm ready to throw at least 4 innings with you, not in minor leagues, is what it comes down to.
Yeah. You tell Max he's gonna throw his next start in the minors, and he looks at you with his blue eye and says, no, I'm not.
If anybody wants to watch some good video, search Max Scherzer talking about relegation of umpires and the automatic strike zone.
That was pretty good.
It was very diplomatic the way he went about it. I'll give him a ton of credit on that. So go check that out because I think people approach it that way, we might actually get things accomplished is what I'm trying to get at. So something to think about. All right. There'll be more moving parts this weekend, unfortunately. There were some more call-ups, so I want to kind of see where people stand playing time-wise. So let's get to our Fab preview, Mr. Bloomfield. Let's get it going on this one. Why don't you break down what we're looking at this week?
More so we'll start with the schedule. we've got, again, a ton of games. No five-game weeks for anybody. And we've got the Orioles with 7, Cubs 7, Marlins with a weird 3-series week with 7, Mets, Yankees, and Nationals all have 7 games. So music to everyone's ears. A lot of baseball coming
up. A ton of baseball, which is great to see. You mentioned it before the show. Who's the worst offense in baseball these days?
Yeah, our running tally, it's the Chicago White Sox. It was close. It still is a little bit close between the White Sox and the Miami Marlins. For those looking on the YouTube stream, we have each team's WRC plus and along with the schedule and their opposing strikeout minus walk rate. So you can kind of quickly see green, red, where teams are at. Miami's at a 67. White Sox is 62. WRC plus average on that is 100. The three best teams, no surprise, Atlanta, Baltimore, and the LA Dodgers in that order. And to a surprise, the fourth best team by WRC plus is the Houston Astros, despite how bad they've been. We kind of talked about this on the last show. It's mostly been pitching, but the offense is still humming. So that's good news for, like we talked about, a slumping Alex Bregman last week. Good news for him.
Yep, that does make a ton of sense on that one. So we'll see. Let's get to it. Schedule for the week. Arizona Diamondbacks 6 games this week, all at home against the Dodgers and the Padres, and all first right-handed pitching. This is one of the situations, if you can sneak a couple streamers, which Pavin Smith's been playing a lot, and a few others, there are some options in Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've talked a little bit about Jock James, Jock Peterson, and Jake McCarthy. And those are still great pickups, depending on your league size, where you're at. Especially, I think especially McCarthy. He's hitting over 300 and running. But Pavin Smith is a good call-out for deeper leagues, hitting quite well. Splitting time between right field, DH, first base, and probably going to play at least most of the time as a lefty hitter against these 6 righties. So Pavin Smith in deeper leagues, Jock Peterson, Jake McCarthy are, I think, excellent pickups this week against, honestly, like, even though it is LA and the Padres, they miss their best. The opposing starting pitchers, the 6 opposing starting pitchers average a 9% strikeout minus walk rate this week, which is pretty terrible. League average strikeout minus walk. What the hell is it? Is it like 15, 16, something like that?
Yeah, like 16 last time I heard.
So it's not only it's all righties for the Diamondbacks, but it's all pretty bad righties in general. So
yeah, you got Cease, who's been good. King's got shelled in Colorado. Yamamoto pitched well, but like, you get your knack-knack jokes. Stoned, Waldron, at least half of them are pretty favorable matchups, if not more. And that D-backs offense is good enough to run some guys out, and that Dodgers bullpen has not been good. So you could have some of those for sure. And then real quick, just for fun, I looked it up in 12-team OCs. Jock Peterson's only 5% rostered.
Okay.
Jake McCarthy only 3%. And Pavin Smith 0%. So these are guys, if you literal streaming game, 12-teamers, like $1 could probably get some of these guys. You probably don't have to go more than like 5 or 6 in reality. Like, there might be some people that get super aggressive, like on the Jock Jams, but Jake McCarthy, Pavin Smith, $1 or $2 should get it done in most leagues.
I had to double check you, man. I can't believe that. I just assumed they were at least, I don't know, in the 50s or something, like half rostered in 12 teamers. That is actionable then for most of you all then.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves. 6 games this week, all on the road. At Seattle, at the Dodgers, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Most Braves are rostered, though.
Yeah, agreed. There's not really anything to cover here. Adam Duvall is always the one I'm looking at in left-hand heavy weeks for the Braves. Hit a home run this week, but with 1 lefty on the schedule, it's going to be more Kelnick. And your second base, Luis Guillerme, is bye-bye with Ozzy Albies returning. So nothing really there for the Braves.
If you're feeling frisky, Kelnick's only 75% rostered, so a quarter of the league still have him available in 12-team OCs if you're feeling real frisky, which you don't have to technically with the Miller, Castillo, maybe Wu, Glasnow, maybe Buell. Like, it's
– And that's what I was actually going to bring up, is not really so much about the Braves. I know with the schedule, we try and go team by team, but we just kind of go down different things. Keep an eye on Brian Wu, because he is – He is tentatively slated for that midweek start next week, but if you have Wu, you know, you may want to activate him next week, and then who knows about Walker Buehler. That is not an actual Buehler joke with the question mark. I just don't know if he's actually going to make that start at the back half. Yeah. But Brian Wu is another, we were talking about returners earlier. Brian Wu is potentially one of those guys coming back next week, which is good.
Yep. Very, very good. Baltimore Orioles, hot, hot offense, has 7 games this week. They got the Yankees at home for 4 and then 3 on the road in Cincinnati. Great American Small Park. 4 lefties and 3 righties. But again, most Orioles are taken unless you want to go get some Kested Hierstedt in your life.
Yeah, and this, to me at least, I don't know if we're going to get another, I don't know, Baltimore's weekend schedule if they're facing any lefties, but Kested Hierstedt is supposed to be one of the bigger fab guys this week. And if he doesn't play against left-handed pitching, which he hasn't yet, Baltimore getting 4 lefties last week, next week, all you're getting is 3 games out of Kested Hierstedt potentially. So just keep an eye on that if you are thinking about bidding on Kested Hierstedt. I'm going to keep trying to call him Kested Hierstedt. Or yeah, Kested Hierstedt, whatever it is. Kested Hierstedt.
Oh, no, we're screwing up the names. God, I was kidding.
Yeah, there goes another 4-star review. It's something that any lefty, and Ryan O'Hearn as well, is someone who, you know, we pumped here a couple weeks ago, had a great week and a right-handed heavy week, but against 4 lefties, Ryan O'Hearn is not going to start. Jorge Mateo, if you need potentially some bags, does play against a bunch of lefties, so that's a decent week potentially for Jorge Mateo with Baltimore going 4 lefties.
For sure. If you guys keep the questions coming in the chat, I'm going to star them. We'll get to them at the end of the show. Just want to keep running through the schedule, but keep them coming, and we'll get to those at the end. Boston Red Sox, they have 6 games this week. They get the Giants at home for 3, then 3 at Minnesota, 1 lefty, 5 righties. It's not the easiest of schedules when it comes to pitchers either.
It's not. It's definitely not. 16% strikeout minus walk combined for these opponents, especially no,
20%.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad. I'm looking at the wrong way. 20%. You get
one of the hardest ones of the week.
Yep. And I don't know if that, if Walker, we don't know that's San Francisco.
That could be Black for all.
Yeah. But yeah, that is a tough, that is a tough go for Boston. I had this tweet out today that Willy Abreu is one of my favorite pickups right now, and that may seem like crazy, but he's only 64% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers, and as a lefty, will play a ton this week. Interested to see what, like, Masataka Yoshida. He has not started each of the last 4 games.
And Devers is supposed to start a DH again tomorrow. Like, it's getting heated down there. Yoshida's kind of shown his frustration. Like, they interviewed him at his locker yesterday, and through his translator, Yoshida, like, stalled a lot to pick the right words, they said.
Interesting.
Like, he's trying to play the cards correctly. It's not good.
Is weird how he just suddenly is not playing.
Like, you can't put him in the outfield for a game or two? Like, right. Come on.
So, right. I don't know. Something to monitor if you have Yoshida is, like, all of a sudden you're getting nothing there.
Yeah, I'll mention again, it has nothing to do with the schedule per se, but if Connor Wong is available and you need a catcher, like, stop sitting around and watching that one. That's a must-do situation. Yep. The other thing I'd mention is watch how the Red Sox use first base this weekend. Bobby Dalbec, I'm not interested in. Pablo Reyes got some action there, and he's kind of serviceable in deeper formats. So just kind of pay attention to how they're utilizing first base with Tristan Casas out.
Okay.
Chicago Cubs, they got 7 games on the docket for you. They got 4 at the New York Mets, 3 at home in Milwaukee for the weekend. 6 right-handed pitchers. We already talked PCA. This is a Talkman week. What else are we looking at?
It's going to be kind of a put up or shut up week for Matt Mervis.
Yeah,
true. You would think he plays a bunch against a right-handed heavy schedule. So I'm not saying to just run out and go nuts over Mervis, but it's more just like if he's gonna do something, this is probably the week to do it. Also interested, so we just talked about Picro Armstrong, so we don't need to rehash that. But interested to see how much he plays, as well as Alexander Canario against all these righties next week. Michael Bush is also, like, labeled as a platoon bat. He's playing every day. Actually has cooled quite a bit from his 5 homer and 5 game streak there, but Still starting him.
Most definitely. Chicago White Sox, they got six this week. They have three at home against Minnesota, three on the road against St. Louis, five right-handed pitchers. So if Gavin Sheets is still available and that's your jam, it's another week for Gavin Sheets, who's actually playing every day, period, now. It's not even just a righty-lefty thing per se, but
yeah,
that's pretty much it outside of Tommy Pham, like we talked about a million times. There's not a whole lot else that I'm ever interested in with the White Sox.
Agreed, and it's a tough schedule. It's Joe Ryan, it's Bailey Ober, it's Sonny Gray, who's just been nuts.
I love it.
And I've already voiced my frustrations over Lance Lynn being suddenly good, at least, or lucky. And then ended it with Steven Matz, who has destroyed a couple of my team's ratios these last 2 weeks. I don't know why I started him this week, but God, he got blown up by the A's, and then I forget who he pitched against this week, and it was even worse.
Yeah, I think I want to say Kansas City for some reason, but I could be totally wrong. Could just be throwing that out of my rear end, which happens often in my life. Cincinnati Reds, six games this week, three at San Diego, three at home against Baltimore, all right-handed pitchers. Jake Fraley's been out with an illness, supposed to come back this weekend if somehow he's available. That stands out. There's some other options, but I'll give you the floor on this one to see if you're willing to go a little shaken, not stirred.
Mr. Martini?
Yeah.
How's he? I mean, I know he had the.
He'll play against all righties.
What are we looking at skills wise? 30% strikeout rate. He's hitting 200 with three homers. And I think two of those were like on opening
in one day, game to so. Start the year.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too enthused about Nick Martini. I'll pass.
Do you want the new Ronald Acuna Jr.? Oh, never mind. He's already rostered. So Ellie De La Cruz. Don't have to worry about that.
God. I am regretting. That's a separate topic, but yeah, I am regretting that. Yeah. A lot of people are, but man, has he been, God.
But I'll throw this one out here, and I hope Torres' take doesn't get mad at me for this one, but this is the kind of stuff that I think is viable information, at least for discussion points, like still have fun. Here's Torres' take's tweet. Ellie is a fantasy stud regardless, but it should be pointed out that his production is being significantly boosted by a 422 BABIP and a 41% home run to fly ball rate.
Yeah, so agreed. I don't think anyone is saying this is going to hold up, yeah. But even like half of what Ellie De La Cruz is doing right now is still freaking crazy. Oh, so,
it's amazing.
It's a good point. It was
more of a reference because everyone's saying he's the new Ronald Acuna this year, and he's like, nah, this isn't what Acuna did last year. What Acuna did last year was just insanity, but we'll see. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games this week, three at Houston, three at home against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, five right-handed pitchers with Cleveland, and that opens the door once again to your boy Will Brennan, who is on fire right now.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but keep going after Will Brennan. Started him in a bunch of my teams this week, talked about him at least last week, if not the last 2 weeks. Hitting the ball very well, and that will continue. Will Brennan is in a strict platoon, but he's hitting fifth against right-handed pitching, and the pitching that Cleveland faces isn't all that great. I mean, we just talked about how Houston's staff has been pretty bad, and then ending with Soriano Detmer's canning. That's a pretty good schedule for the Guardians. And yeah, I will be starting Will Brennan yet again next week in as many leagues as I have him in.
Yeah, he's only 3% rostered in OCs. He's playing great. I keep playing him in DFS. He's like $2,600 and 2% rostered. It's glorious. So he's playing very, very well.
13% strikeout rate, like not striking out at all, and an 8% barrel rate, like making some contact, running, couple bags. So I like it.
I was writing him up for something. Can't remember what it was now, but it was like 2 days ago. Over his last 10 or 12 games, he had a 4% strikeout rate with three home runs, hitting like 350. It's pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Colorado Rockies, they have six games all on the road next week. That should end this conversation, but I'll say this much. At Miami, at Pittsburgh, three righties, three lefties.
It's like the worst schedule ever. Yeah, it's like the worst of possible worlds. It's all road. It's all road coming off of a Mexico series, so like...
Probably got the runs. Yeah. Montezuma's revenge.
Montezuma's revenge. So they'll be dealing with that as well as just they can't hit on the right. Let's continue before we get in worse trouble here. I'm glad we're not like, you know, nationally syndicated.
People would love us. Hunter Goodman is a guy though I'd still keep an eye on. Guy's got a ton of power and speed in the minor leagues. The way Brenton Doyle started and actually played really well. Also, there are guys that will have some
that, deep no, value. Yeah, no, that is a good – the Hunter Goodman call actually, yeah, was something we probably shouldn't gloss over. That's interesting from a power standpoint, a big-time power. And I think in the minors this year, yes, Hunter Goodman
– 7 homers already.
7 homers, but also a 21% strikeout rate, yep, which is down from like mid-20s, upper 20s throughout most of Goodman's career. So if Goodman and hitting 298 in AAA, so like if, you know, who knows what the hit tool will translate like in the majors, but you get that kind of power with maybe some semblance of a plate approach. Hunter Goodman is at least on my radar, but again, the schedule this week sucks.
Yep, with you on that. Detroit Tigers, 6 games on the week. They have the Cardinals at home for 3, then go to the Bronx for 3. 2 lefties, 4 righties. Tigers just don't do it for me.
Agreed. Agreed. I don't, and I'm trying to think, and it's a pretty split schedule anyway, so I don't,
yeah, I don't like know. Buying low on Parker Meadows is like the one conversation I've seen, but I'm like, I'm just not doing that anymore.
Yeah, he's still been pretty rough. I'm pulling up his thing here. Yeah, well, 2 homers, 3 steals, but a 40% strikeout rate hitting under 100. So
his BABIP's horrific, but he's also got a 40% K rate, which obviously will hamper your BABIP. So
yeah,
it's just a bad combination right now.
Real quick, something from Michael Cecchini in the chat, going back to Goodman, the Steamer 600 projection system, which basically stripes out playing time. Basically saying Hunter Goodman's their best hitter. I'm assuming Colorado Rockies' best hitter, which again, yep, maybe isn't saying much, but that is, if you believe the projections, that's Goodman is someone who is not going to get the pub of a Kerstad or a PCA and could probably be cheap.
100% agree. Houston Astros, second worst record in baseball, one of the best WRC pluses in baseball. They have 6 games on the week, all at home, 3 against Cleveland, 3 against the Mariners, 5 right-handed pitchers. Problem is most are rostered.
Yeah, the one lefty platoon bat is our guy, John Singleton.
Our guy.
My guy, I guess. Who I last year recalled, like, remember John Singleton, not even knowing he's still in the minors, and he got called up like the next week.
I think it was like double, 2 home runs in 1 game, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, there's nothing else here. It's interesting to see Jose Abreu has only played 3 of the last 6 games. It looks like he is toast. I always kind of like Jake Myers for some reason, but has only started 3 of the last 6 and is hitting .217. So not great, Bob.
That's not great at all. Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Toronto, 3 at home against Texas, all right-handed pitching. Going to keep going back to the Isbell reign.
I am. Isbell, and if you need middle infield help, Michael Massey was a semi-popular ad last week, at least in 15-teamers. Michael Massey's back and, you know, hit 229 last year, 15 home runs and 460 plate appearances, but always someone who I thought has had some decent skills. So if you're desperate for a middle infielder in a middle or deep league, Michael Massey against a right-hand heavy schedule should be at least in one of your, you know, conditional bids or whatnot in FAB.
Yep, Massey 3% rostered in 12, so he's widely available and he's very streaky, so I'm with you on that. Los Angeles Angels over in GIFO, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home against Philadelphia, 3 at the Cleveland Guardians, 5 right-handed pitchers, so probably won't see much from GIFO. Well, he's been playing though, so that's good. Tough schedule, though, pitcher-wise. You got your boy Christopher Sanchez, Wheeler, Nola, Bibee, Lively. Like, the start of the week's really rough.
Yeah, agreed. That is a tough schedule. Mascot has started 5 of the last 6, 4 of the last 5 against righties. Saw a game at shortstop on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But
and he usually pinch hits every game and gets a hit. So even when he's not starting, he's productive. Steals a bag, scores a run. Like, exactly. He's doing things.
But there's no pickup wise. I don't really see anything here for the Angels.
Los Angeles Dodgers, they have 3 games at Arizona, 3 games at home against Atlanta, 3 righties, 3 lefties, Paez is playing every day. So if somehow he's still available in your leagues, because that's been a great pickup for Bloomfield, he's still 22% available in OCs. So check that out. But that'd be the main attraction in my mind.
Yep. And there's not really much else. And you are correct. Paez has been starting every game. The Dodgers have faced three lefties and three righties in their last six games, and he started all of them. The out man will only get three games this week. And yeah, all those platoon guys, Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, in any week where it's a split like this, 3-3, not worth your streaming considerations.
All right. The Miami Marlins, the second worst offense in baseball, as Bloomfield said earlier, seven games this week, one at home against Washington, three at home against Colorado, and then three in Oakland. They face five right-handed pitchers. Is this your week for your boy?
Everyone's one of our boys. This is the best schedule of the week. This is the best schedule of the week. It's a seven-game schedule, yep. And it's Irvin. They're facing Jake Irvin, Feltner, Block, Dakota Hudson, J.P. Sears, Blackburn, Joe Boyle. Like, this is what you want. This is a week for, I guess my guy Jesus Sanchez and Nick Gordon. Yep. Preferably Sanchez. Gordon's more a deep leaguer, but Jesus Sanchez, I think, is, I don't know his, do you have his roster percentage?
0%.
What's with people, man? Zero.
It's 12 team leagues, man. It's just, that's 12 teams in a nutshell.
Let me check.
He's hit 286 in each. He's hit 286 in each of the last 2 weeks with a home run in each of the last 2 weeks. He's been serviceable.
And 25% rostered in main events in 15 team leagues, Jesus Sanchez. So I will be having Jesus Sanchez on a bunch of my fab lists this week. That's an awesome schedule.
I'm going to give you guys a little behind the curtains up. You guys do it too when you listen, but as we go team by team, I write down a lot of these like low percentage guys to put in my queue, basically. And it's a, the list is getting long this week compared to most weeks. So we might have some waterfalls, which is why I say you could probably save money this week and make a lot of smaller bids and get at least one of these people type thing. Mm-hmm. If you need to, because I don't think any of these guys we discussed outside of an occasional prospect is worth breaking the bank on. So like, there's a lot of equal feels with some of these guys. So
agreed. Even the prospects, I'm not breaking my bank on Kerstad.
True.
PCA True. And really know these guys. So
Goodman's actually the one I like the most. As weird as
I know. I know. And especially, with what Michael's saying in the chat, like that's,
yeah, I remember back in the preseason, I had Matt Heckman of Fantrax on that talked about the Rockies, and he talked about Doyle and Goodman. He said Goodman's the better hitter, Doyle's the better defender. That's why Doyle makes the team, but Goodman can be fun at some point this season. So, see how it goes. Milwaukee Brewers, great offense. Love it. William Contreras, combo meal on Thursday. Dude. What does he not do? Leads off. Like, the dude is just so good. So good. It's just getting old for people to, like, finally realize he's this good. Get on the same page. Six games this week, three at home against Toronto, three in Wrigley Field, five right-handed pitchers. So you got your Frelichs, you got your Perkins, stuff along those lines pretty much.
Yeah, I Frelich is the one who I'm talking about, but he is 98% rostered in 12 teamers. So yeah, probably nothing here Milwaukee-wise.
Perkins is only 35%.
Okay. If Christian Yelich is, you were saying before the show, he is not spending the minimum on the IL, it sounds like. So
he just barely started running, hasn't thrown or hit or anything yet. So it's not great in that world for Yelich's back.
Yep. So another week for Blake Perkins, which could help.
Could be a good one. Minnesota Twins, they have six games this week, three at the White Sox, which is always good. Then three at home against Boston, a beat up Boston rotation, five right-handed pitchers out of the six games here. So you do have some options here at Bloomfield, as some guys are returning from the IL and are playing really good right now.
Yeah, Max Kepler made a quick return, I thought, from the IL, came back on Monday. So check to see there, and should play as a lefty for the Twins, at least those five games. And also Trevor Larnach has two homers, is hitting .350 through his first 24 plate appearances, with a good barrel rate, but it's just two barrels, and striking out at a good clip, as good as in low clip. So agreed. Trevor Larnach has looked really good, and I think he's going to get a bunch of run next week. So I like Trevor Larnach as a cheap one.
I like Larnach a lot. He's like you said, 1% rostered. He's batting fifth every game against righties. Kepler's only 27% rostered in 12, so go try to get him. Kepler will be worth it for a while.
He was probably dropped because drafted because of the IL stint. But
yep, so more streaming options. A lot of outfielders, folks. That's why the old story during draft season is you can always find outfielders on the waiver wire. New York Mets, they have 7 games this week. They have 4 at home against the Cubs, 3 at the Tampa Bay Rays. Interesting week. Matchups are kind of off and on, but 6 right-handed pitchers.
Always like the 6 righties. Mets. Oh, dude, I was trying to dig up the tweet. Remember I made so much fun of you at First Pitch Arizona? I was sitting next to you.
Mm-hmm. And you had your
notepad of 50 catchers with Omar Narvaez.
Who's starting catcher for the Mets right now? Did you mention that? Who's starting catcher for the Mets?
I mean,
people want to know why I cover so many catchers and people make fun of me. You're welcome.
I couldn't believe it. But it was like November and dude is don't get too excited, Bubba. No, Omar Narvaez.
I wouldn't roster him. Yeah, I'm not running the roster. In a lonely league, though, he actually has value right now. He has value because he's getting at bats.
I did find that funny. I couldn't find the tweet where I was making fun of you for Omar Narvaez, and then there he is. In all seriousness, I'm curious to see with all these right-handers for the Mets what DJ Stewart's outlook looks like. I mean, he has been their full-time DH, so what is going to happen with DJ Stewart once JD Martinez comes back? And maybe Martinez doesn't play every day because he has had a back issue. But DJ Stewart's one who normally I'd be all over in a week like this, but now I'm not so sure. Outside of that, I don't see anyone else on the Mets. Narvaez included, worth going for. I wish they played more lefties because Tyrone Taylor is the freaking man, but he's not going to play much.
Yeah, he's bad. He's really, really bad. So bad if he's not facing lefties is what I meant to say on that one. But yeah, no, Omar Narvaez is the takeaway from the entire show, folks. Just kidding. Yankees, they play 4 against Baltimore on the road, then come home for 3 against the Detroit Tigers, 5 right-handed pitchers out of the 7 in this one. Interesting slate of matchups is the best I can say. Miami is a great one on Sunday.
It is, but just from a pickup standpoint, there's nothing here. Oswaldo Cabrera gets a little bit more run because your boy, DJ LeMahieu, I guess, had some kind of setback, right?
Yeah, he's pretty much donezo right now. They said he's not getting checked out day to day. He's going to get checked out week to week now.
Oh, that's not good.
No. They said the fracture has healed in his foot. There's just a lot of swelling now. So okay. We'll see.
So, yeah, Oswaldo Cabrera gets a ton more run at third base, though he is rostered in 94% of, am I on mains or 12s? 12 teamers, so probably not available.
John Birdie's going to start a rehab assignment this weekend, so he could return next week to screw that up, too. So,
who is mildly interesting? I actually wrote up Birdie this week for Baseball HQ. I did a skills searching for roles column, and I know, like, John Birdie doesn't have the skills or whatever, but it's just 2 years ago when it was Birdie bags all summer long. It's not that much older than he was there. So with DJ LeMahieu out of the picture, John Birdie is, I think, just one more injury away from being an everyday player on the Yankees, which is just crazy, but could be fantasy relevant.
All right, the Oakland Athletics, 6 games all at home this week, 3 against Pittsburgh, 3 against the Marlins, 3 lefties, 3 righties, and it really sucks that the Marlins and the A's have the 2 best setups this week.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. Yeah, that's a bad.
Yeah,
that's a bad schedule. Jesus.
Yep, not a whole lot you can do there platoon wise. 3-3. It's just that's rough.
Yeah. Actually, I'm starting to do these like daily kind of top fives where I look at. Post this on Twitter where like I look at the guys who had the highest exit velo, highest number of hits for batters, and then whiffs and ball rate for pitchers. Lawrence Butler came up on one of those who I was like, really? Yep. And Lawrence Butler is like hitting the hell out of the ball right now. Striking out a good clip too, but he can also run a little bit. Like he's mildly interesting, but he is a platoon bat. And like you said, Oakland gets 3 righties all week. So I don't know. Lawrence Butler, just kind of a name to stash away for future weeks, maybe.
Yep, Lawrence is a fun one in the right stream of weeks. Like next week, they have 7 games, and for now, 6 reverse right-handed pitchers. So if you want to get ahead of it early for some reason, knock yourself out. Yeah, probably not.
Wouldn't get ahead of it too much for Lawrence Butler, but still.
Yeah. Philadelphia Phillies, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Anaheim, 3 at home against the Giants, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Not a ton here.
Nope. Yeah. Castellano still hasn't done anything. Brandon Marsh probably rostered. Bryson Stott rostered. Yeah, there's nothing here. Johan Rojas playing every day, hitting 9th, running.
Yep, that defense, baby. Defense keeps you on the field. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Oakland, 3 at home against Colorado, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Not a ton for me here either.
No, I mean, it's good pitching or good in terms of matchup-wise good with those two and a 10% strikeout minus walk. But I don't know. I know we have a listener question on this, so maybe we'll save. But Joey Bart catcher. Maybe
we'll talk about him with a listener question. That'll be a good one. Him. Yeah, we'll talk about that then. San Diego Padres. They have 6 games this week: 3 at home against Cincinnati, 3 in the desert against the D-backs. 2 lefties, 4 righties. Again, not a ton for me here.
Agreed. I am in the same boat. Graham Pauly and Tyler Wade with Igwe Rosario and Jose Azucar as their platoon mates. Not
Pauly get called back up. He did get called back up. Nice. Yep. Okay, that must happen a day or two ago. Missed that one. I have him in DC's, so that's good to know.
That's why you keep me around, is to keep you filled in on all this news.
Oh yeah, all the ones that get through the system over here. I appreciate you.
But no, Paulie's not.
He was crushing it at AAA. That's why I was curious. He was crushing it at AAA. But then he comes back up in platoons. It's a great way to utilize young talent. San Francisco Giants, they have 6 games next week, all on the road, 3 at Boston, 3 at Philadelphia, 2 lefties, 4 righties. That just leaves a mess of a situation for the Giants.
Agreed. Yeah. Nothing really to add.
Seattle Mariners, they have 6 games next week, 3 against Atlanta, 3 at Houston, 3 lefties, 3 righties.
Yeah, not good for any platoon. They've got a couple platoon guys like Luis Urias, I guess, against lefties. I think he hit a home run.
He went
earlier today. Heaney. Has Mitch Garver done anything?
He just grabs his back once in a while, I think, to tell you that he's old.
Dude's hitting 141 with 1 home run, 4 RBI, and 77 plate appearances. That's
still hits in the middle of the order. It's pretty wild.
That's bad. He was going next to, I think, Jonah Heim, right? In ADP this draft season. Heim hasn't lit the world on fire, but compared to Garver, man. Garver's getting close to cut territory. I mean, it is tough to cut a second catcher, but he's done absolutely nothing.
I'd wanted nothing to do with Mitch Garver. I will say this much, though. Watch the weekends. J.P. Crawford with the IL with an oblique injury. Yeah. Dylan Moore played the first 2 games. That's a guy that can give you some bags if he gets on, and he might not be in a platoon situation. So just keep an eye on that. They did call up a prospect that has some serious speed as well that can play middle infield. So it's kind of watch what the Mariners do over the weekend. And
that is a really good point on Dylan Moore, who's like been forever a decent power speed combo, but it usually has only played against left-handed pitching. But you're right. Dylan Moore has started 3 of the last 4 against right-handed pitching at shortstop and some left field. But that probably continues with JP Crawford on the IL.
Yep. 0% rostered in 12s. So go get them. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 6 games next week, 3 at Detroit, 3 against the Chicago White Sox, 1 lefty, 5 right-handed pitchers for the Cardinals to face. And you mentioned a guy earlier in the show that you might be interested in rostering, Ryan.
Burleson Donovan.
Brendan Donovan's 96% rostered.
So is he?
Yeah. I thought he was
Alec Burleson. I'll go first name. Alec Burleson. I think he's going to play.
Alec Burleson. Yeah, he's 0% rostered, so go get you some. I'm going to keep bringing him up because he's only 72% rostered. It's been climbing in recent weeks.
Is it Ivan Pereira time?
No, Mason Wynn's playing really well.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to keep bringing him up. Like he's only 72% in OCs. Like if you're talking Yahoos and stuff, he's super low owned every week. Very good. Lots of speed. Defense is amazing, so he's not going anywhere at shortstop. Like the kid's good, so keep him in mind as well.
All right, I like it.
Tampa Bay Rays, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus the Mets, 2 lefties, 4 righties. The platooning Rays make it difficult to platoon this week.
Yeah, with only four, you typically want really six, but five might work. But Richie Palacios was a popular streamer last week. I don't think has done anything. I think he's on an 0-for-7 start to the week. That's the the perils of streaming hitters. Curtis Meade is playing every day at second base against righties, lefties. I think hit his first home run, I want to say.
Yes, he did. Yesterday, on Wednesday.
This week. Hitting .231 with a 21% strikeout rate over 72 plate appearances, Curtis Meade is. So, again, like, middle infield is rough. Like, when I lost Ozzie Albies in labor, I think I picked up Davis Schneider. But, like, there was not much in middle infield. So,
You want to know who I picked up in tout? Nick Ahmed.
That's
how bad it is. Because there's IL there. So, like, at least in an FPC, there's no IL. So, there's a few more options.
Yeah.
15 team tout, there's nobody. So, Nick Ahmed's got, like, decent OBP at least. I'm like, go get him.
That's awful. I'm surprised I didn't give you crap for that.
It was dollar. Dollar day, baby. Just needed a warm body.
$1 too much. You know you can go $0.
You know, it might have been zero, actually, now I think about it. You know it's hard to make someone in front of somebody in first place, right?
I know. That's probably why I didn't message you. Because I'm in, like, 10th, and you're in first.
Just checking. Just wanted to check on that one real quick. I'll enjoy it while I can. A couple more teams to go here. Texas Rangers, six games on the week. Three at home against the Nats. Three on the road against Kansas City. Two lefties, four righties for the Rangers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much. Evan Carter's starting to heat up a little bit.
Yes, he is. Still hitting like .215, but the power is starting to show up. So definitely something to look at there. And his walk rate still through the roof.
Yeah. There's Josh H. Smith hit his first home run this week. Maybe there. He's at least playing. Ezekiel Duran is just done.
He's gone. I want to know what he did to Bruce Bochy.
I don't know.
Bochy, man, he must have done something to his whiskey after the game or something. That was rough. Rough one there. Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games this week, three at home against Kansas City, three on the road against the Nats, three lefties, three righties.
Yeah, so the aforementioned Davis Schneider pickup, I may be dropping him. I don't know. Addison Barger, I'm curious, but like we talked about earlier, the 3-3 week, that just, I think he platoons. And so I can't put much of a bid in on Barger if I think he's only going to play three or four games this week.
Yep. It's very, very tricky in that regard. Let's go to the last one here, the Washington Nationals. They have seven games this week. They have the one game at Miami, three games at Texas, three at home against Toronto, three lefties and four righties make things extremely difficult to figure out for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't add Joey Gallo, please. No, I saw you had I think you had a tweet on that earlier today.
Yes, I did. It's bad. His strikeout rate is through the roof. I'll get to the exact numbers here real quick, just for funsies.
While you look it up, Joe Arrico in the chat says Davis Schneider over Addison Barger for me as our resident Toronto Blue Jay listener. So thank you, Joe.
Good to know. Where the heck did I do this? Oh, here it is. So Joey got three more strikeouts and a walk today. That is pretty impressive because now Joey Gallo has 41 strikeouts and 71 at-bats.
Yeesh.
And he moved to the outfield, and Trey Lipscomb was playing first base after the latest Lane Thomas IL situation. So it's a whole lot of going on there.
Luis Garcia is someone we have talked about before as a matchup guy, but he is starting to play every day and is only 72% rostered in 12 teamers. So Luis Garcia, again, if you need, if you're scraping that bottom of the barrel, middle infield, Luis Garcia is interesting to me. Nick Pollock's in the chat, just obviously joined the wrong time of the episode as we go through all 30 hitter schedules. He's not happy. Pitchers
come up soon, Nick Pollock. We're almost there, buddy. Almost there. But yes, Nick's in the chat. Kevin Hastings, aloha. Guys, good to see you there. Lots of fun stuff going on.
Do we want to talk? So CBS, do we want to talk pitchers since Mr. Pollock is in the chat?
Sure.
Let's go hitters. It's your show. I don't know.
It's not my show. It's our show, Ryan. Stop it. We actually talked most hitters. We can actually do hitters real quick. We talked Willy Abreu. Jesse Winker still widely available. We talked about him a million times. Luis Garcia, Ryan O'Hearn, Páez. Like we talked about, anybody on this list we did not talk about that stands out to you?
I think we got a listener question about Joey Loperfido.
Yes, we do. Yes. Big time prospect.
When's he going to get called up? I don't know, but yes.
Everyone's clamoring for it.
No,
I'd say Blaze Alexander. He's playing every day now. He's not platooning. They actually sent down one of his potential platoon partners. They DFA Jace Peterson. That's who he's platooning with. So if another middle infield option, as you were saying, Blaze Alexander is 57% rostered in 12s right now. He's hitting .318 with 3 home runs and a stolen base.
Mark Canna is actually showing some. I know it's Mark Canna and probably regresses back to being Mark Canna. And I know we kind of glossed over Detroit in the hitter schedule part, but Mark Canna in CBS leagues is up from 26% to 35% owned in CBS with an 18% strikeout rate and 8% barrel. That's some of the best skills that we have on here. Joe Adell.
Yeah. Joe, he's Adell, playing really well.
He's playing pretty Adell well. K rate's down. He's making hard contact. He's running. I don't know. Did you see the Joe Adell to end the game get thrown out?
Yeah, quotes? That wasn't good.
I think he was safe, but yeah. Joe Adell is running. So
hitting .316, two homers, five steals. All the Angels are running. That's the fun part. They're all running there. And then for deeper formats, Harrison Bader's name's on there. Since I have tons of shares of him in deep formats and DCs, he's hitting .278, one homer, five steals. Got to play every day in center field. So another kind of deeper look if you're needing somebody there.
Agreed.
All right, let's talk pitching for Mr. Nick Pollock here. And I'm curious your thoughts on Mitchell Parker because he's very, very popular these days. He got it done against some very good opponents in his first couple of starts there. I believe it was the Dodgers and the Astros, 12 innings, 2 earned, 12 Ks between the two starts. So what are you thinking about Mitchell Parker?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you talk about the level of competition like this. So that is one thing when we only have two starts to look at. I look at who do they face, and that's impressive. But also, what's the pitch mix? What's the per pitch kind of metrics look like? And Mitchell Parker has not walked anybody. He's striking out 28% of batters, again, just 12 innings. But he's throwing a ton of strikes, 29% ball rate, which is awesome. He's throwing strikes with his four seamer. Doesn't get whiffs with his four seamer, but throws it for strikes. And at least so far, curveball, split finger for Mitchell Parker have been pretty devastating. And so in a time where and again, this could all fall apart, but in a time where we need as much pitching as we can get on the waiver wire, Mitchell Parker is, I think, an add definitely in 15s and maybe even in some 12s. I don't know his matchups coming up. We also highlighted. Go ahead.
Martins this week and at Texas next week.
Okay. Nick in the chat says four seamer isn't all that great. Surprised with a good curve in the first one. And then the splitter showed up out of nowhere in start two. Mitchell Parker, we highlighted at Baseball HQ as one of the highest risers in the minors from first half to second half last year. So this could be kind of one of those late bloomer under the radar prospects. Mitchell Parker going from 3% to 39% in CBS leagues is, I don't know. He stands out a lot more than the crap I pick up, like Ryan Feltner.
Yeah, because there's Keaton Wynn on the list. We talked about him plenty. I'm a big Keaton Wynn fan. Bryce Elder, I'm always worried. I want to see some more from him, but maybe you have interest in Bryce Elder. A lot of pitch to contact last year. He looked good in his start, in his first call, better than the other options that have tried to take Spencer Strider's spot in the rotation. But I'm still he's 6 2/3 shutout, 4 Ks versus Miami. Like, the 4 Ks part is what concerns me with Bryce Elder.
Famous quote from First Pitch Arizona 2023. There was a panel. They were talking about Bryce Elder and Eric Carabel. Noted Phillies fan, potential some bias here, just says, Bryce Elder sucks. And then he passed the mic over to the next panelist. So that has stuck in my mind. Bryce Elder goes to LA to face the Dodgers for his start.
It's a no for me, dog.
For next week. So, yes, I am off of Bryce Elder. We have a couple going back to Mitchell Parker. Both Nick Pollock and Joe Arrico in the chat say they are out against Texas for Mitchell Parker.
Arrico said he might be in if he throws good this weekend.
Yeah, we get one more start to look.
Yeah. A couple others here, like Reed Garrett's a popular reliever to pick up, but, you know, Diaz isn't going anywhere, but Garrett's been the best reliever in baseball that's not a closer right now, if you're looking for that.
He's got four wins. Like, I actually wanted to talk about him a little bit because Reed Garrett is – he's that multi-inning reliever that we talk about that, like, you're comparing someone with skills that Reed Garrett has to – I'll just keep hammering on Ryan Feltner. I don't know why. Don't know why, but Reed Garrett is being used across multiple innings. Again, I agree, not a save source or whatever. But here's his strikeout totals and, you know, by start or by appearance this year for Reed Garrett. 4-5-2-6-1-3-4. And going around 30 to 40 pitches per appearance, again, with four wins. So Sean Manaea was pulled. He got the old Zambrano. And his last start got pulled with 4 2/3 and up 6-0. They brought in Reed Garrett, and Reed Garrett got the win. So Reed Garrett, I think, is if you're just scouring that bottom of the barrel and 15 teamers for starting pitching, just take Reed Garrett instead. He's not going to hurt you.
Yep, Eric Halterman agrees. The best non-closing reliever in baseball will be one of your best nine pitchers every week in a lot of leagues.
Yep.
100% agree. Oh, I forgot to mention it. Our resident pronunciation checker, Mr. Halterman, told us it's Luis Garcia Jr., according to Baseball Reference. So okay. We have to get that one correct. A couple others we got here, like Joe Piams, people added, got a couple saves, but then Trevor McGill got the save on Thursday, so just be prepared for that. McGill's throwing the high leverage, so that's how Piams will sneak a few here and there. Hector Neris picked up his third save on Thursday, but he's walking the world.
He's been awful. He has been awful, but he does. I think he has the job right now. At least for now. Also, they may get it back, but he has it right now.
What's your thoughts on Albert Suarez, Baltimore? He's been pitching pretty well. The old man doesn't get a lot of love because I think it's an ageist thing, but what's your thoughts on Albert Suarez?
Well, it is an ageist thing. And also, it's been, I think, 5 or 6 years. I think he has not pitched in the majors since 2017. So, like, yeah. But that said, everything looks – he's missing a ton of bats. I say he's not walking people, but the control hasn't been that great, not throwing a ton
of strikes. I'll stop you for your own good here. I want to bring it up because John Means is back next week. That'll be his spot in the rotation most likely. Unless somehow they take Dean Kramer out of it or Cole Irvin. Cole Irvin could be a guy that could go.
Kramer just struck out 10 in his last start.
Yeah, he looked really good against the Angels.
Suarez hasn't given up a run in 11 innings. I mean, that's hard to boot.
Well, the Phillies are booting Spencer Turnbull, so anything's possible.
No one likes that move.
Nope. Anybody else? Like Ben Lively's here we talked about. He's been actually good so far, but we'll have to kind of see where that keeps playing out. Next week he has the Angels at the end of the week, which not a bad matchup, honestly, if you're looking for a one pitcher stream.
Agreed. Not on this list, but someone, if we're talking about returners, maybe look at Robert Gasser, who is back at AAA Nashville, either just through a rehab or is about to throw another rehab start down there, and should conceivably be up with the Brewers pretty soon. So that's an interesting one to me.
And then I want to mention two kind of lower roster guys, especially in 12 team leagues. I joked about it, but Landon Knack, he's joined the rotation at least 5 innings in each start, 2 runs. He's got 9 Ks over 11 innings in the Dodgers, so there will be chances for wins there. And the other guy I want to mention, I'll give you the floor on both of them, is Simeon Woods Richardson for the Minnesota Twins. He threw 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 Ks on Thursday. He's made 2 starts, 3 earned over 11 innings, 11 strikeouts for Woods Richardson, and I think he's going to get a little bit of run in this rotation. He's got the White Sox next week. And then the following week, he gets a two-step potentially Seattle and at Toronto.
I like that call out. Landon Knack, I just had in my mind, was not stretched out enough, but that is wrong. He threw 94 pitches in 6 innings his last start. And like you were saying, wins are tough to come by, and pitching on LA certainly helps if you can go over 90 pitches. So I like both of those calls.
Look at even Nick Pollock. He's literally writing up Simeon Woods now for the roundup lead, and Knack is a masterpiece. So, those are two guys that I think you're going to get at super low ownership right now going into the weekend fab. Someone to think about on that one. All right, you ready to talk some two steps for the week?
I think so. It's trying to find another name for starting pitchers, but I got nothing else. The pool seems a little bit more fertile than the last couple of weeks.
It definitely is. It's not the choice of words I'd probably use, but yes, it's looking better for the week. So I'll give you that one for sure. All right, let's talk two steps for the week. Starting Arizona, your boy Tommy, or my boy, I guess Tommy Henry, Dodgers, Padres.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Atlanta, Freed, you already rostered. Grayson Rodriguez, already rostered in Baltimore. Dean Kramer might be available. Yankees and at Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's a tough set of matchups.
Yankees strike out a ton, but they're hitting better. So
they do, but they can hit, man.
Yeah, and then and he's Cincinnati. He's 83% rostered too.
I wonder what the start. I bet most people start him because it is it is a two step and like I said earlier, the Dean did strike out 10 against the Angels his last time out. So,
fun one here, Boston. I mentioned earlier, Cooper Criswell, and a lot can change with this rotation in the coming week. But right now, Criswell gets the Giants and then at Minnesota.
You gotta like that if it happens.
Yep,
and that's kind of the problem. The other problem is like Cooper Criswell, despite a 2.38 ERA, 15% K rate, not missing any bats, 6% swinging strike. Like he's a pitch to contact guy, and I don't know.
It's tough.
I don't think I'm going there in 15s.
The Cubs, you got Jameson Taillon and Javier Assad at the Mets versus Milwaukee, one of the best offenses in baseball.
Actually, we did gloss over Jameson Taillon. He was on the CBS riser list of 33% rostered this week.
54% in 12s and OCs.
Okay. 33 in CBS. So he's rising. And I think Jameson Taillon, we all kind of know who Jameson Taillon is, but I think he can somewhat stabilize your ratios, really good control and pitch pretty damn well in the second half with a pitch mix change to boot last year. So, I actually think Jameson Taillon's one of the few somewhat safe guys you can pick up from starting pitcher in Fab this weekend.
I'm with you. Lodolo's already rostered. Cleveland, Cookie Carrasco at Houston versus the Angels. Oof.
No, I don't hope he does great, but oh Jesus.
This might be the week for your boy. Feltner at Miami, at Pittsburgh. That is a heck of a two-step. You have to do it.
Dude, but I just trashed him like three times.
Am I really going to do this again?
I've been Feltnered probably three or four times in my fantasy.
You're not going to get a better two-step. Like if
no, this isn't, you're not.
If this isn't it, throw him away.
You're not. At Miami, at Pittsburgh. God, I'm going to have to throw it, aren't I? I haven't been tout.
Yep, you're going to throw him. You got to throw him. Nick Pollock says he's chatting with Jameson Taillon on Wednesday. What do we want to ask him?
Oh, very cool.
Ask him if he's doing anything to improve his strikeout rates. I mean that in a nice way, not a sarcastic way. I'm just curious, legit curious. All right, nothing for the White Sox. Detroit, Kenta Maeda go away. Houston, Hunter Brown, no.
Out back.
Kansas City, Daniel Lynch, no. David Lynch, Daniel Lynch, no. Angels.
Green jacket, Griffin, gold jacket.
Who gives it? Angels, Griffin Canning versus the Phillies at Cleveland. Canning took a little better the last couple starts. Still not great. It's a roller coaster, but better.
Canning has turned it around to where he's got 20 Ks. 7 walks in 24 innings. I mean, I know the surface stats are awful. 7.50 ERA, 1.54 WHIP. He's borderline. Canning is in a 15 teamer. I still don't even like the matchups that much. Philly and at Cleveland, the pesky Guardians. But Canning has pitched a little bit better lately.
Yeah, I think there's an option. But yeah, I'd probably still pass. Paxton at Arizona versus the Braves. That's tough.
But I think you throw it.
Trevor Rogers versus Washington at Oakland. That's phenomenal.
That's up there with the Feltner two-step in terms of matchups.
Trevor Rogers, 86% rostered in your OC, so go take a peek if you can get one of the lucky ones on that one. Going down to the bottom half here, Milwaukee. Whew, Bryce Wilson. That's right. That is Bryce Wilson. Yep. My goodness. Versus Tampa Bay at the Cubs.
Bryce Wilson has a 350 ERA and a one whip.
You're doing it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. That's, I was just, stating some numbers, but no, these skills are bad, and this is Bryce Wilson.
So. Joe Ryan is rostered. Mets, Severino and Manaea versus the Cubs at the Rays.
Yeah, I'm throwing it.
I'm throwing both of them. Yeah,
I'm throwing both of them. Just hope, just hope Manaea goes five. If he didn't cut his hair, he'd go five.
Yep, if he didn't go full Samson on us, we'd be good. Yankees, Schmidt, and Cortez should be rostered, but Schmidt's available at Baltimore versus Detroit.
I like that. I mean, I don't like at Baltimore. I mean, that is one of the best offenses out there, but you do like the two-step, and you do like versus Detroit, although versus Detroit is against Skubal, so I don't know the win potential in that start for Clark Schmidt. So actually, I probably kind of talked myself out of him maybe in 12-teamers.
Oakland, Joe Boyle versus Pittsburgh versus Miami. 16% rostered in OCs. That's tempting.
Yeah. What is the
lots of strikeouts like? Ratios through the roof.
Yeah. And it kind of doesn't matter who you're facing if you're walking the world.
He walks too many guys. That's the problem.
So I probably am not throwing
if you like your ratios, probably not.
Yeah. I just think there's. Yeah, I mean, the dude has a 7 ERA and a 180 whip this year.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And the skills aren't that great. So, no, I'm staying away from that.
Here is an enticing one. Bailey Falter at Oakland versus Colorado. 0% rostered.
Oakland versus Colorado? I mean, how can you not be intrigued? Yeah. Skills don't look half bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's actually not bad.
7% walk, throwing strikes. He always throws strikes. Bailey Falter
does. I'm starting him.
And he's almost at a 10% whiff rate. How, though? He's throwing a lot more four seamers that are missing bats.
Oh, my
God. I think
goodness.
I'm throwing him, man.
Nick Pollock says, go for Falter. He says he's got a good changeup. He's Bailey Ober from the left side. That's high praise.
All right, so I guess we throw.
If not, it's Nick's fault.
That's right. We can blame someone else. So at Oakland versus Colorado, dude,
it's a great matchup.
Freaking sweet.
All right, San Diego Padres, Matt Waldron versus Cincy at Arizona. Waldron's been serviceable, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
knuckleballer. Like you never know what, know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm probably passing.
Probably passing on Waldron.
St. Louis, Steven Matz at Detroit versus the White Sox.
this is terrible, man.
Torture.
So I just talked about how Matz killed me, but this is an awesome two-step.
Like one of the best you're going to find. One of the best. Not quite the best.
I'm not doing it. Matz or Feltner, who would you throw?
Yeah, I thought Feltner.
Yeah, I can't throw Matz. Like I said, he just got torched against Oakland, so like the matchup probably doesn't matter.
I'll throw Feltner over Matz for sure.
God, Ryan at Detroit versus Chicago White Sox, man. Yeah. This week's going to kill me.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those weeks where there's a lot of people streaming these two-step guys because we haven't had a lot of them lately. It's been heavily rostered players. So this will be the week you'll see a lot of these guys get picked up, and then there'll be a couple that just blow up a team, that blow them up. The whole Gomber thing will happen this week.
Yeah, probably my teams and probably Feltner.
That'll probably be mine too. I'll probably pick up Bailey Falter. It's going to go just kaboom. Because he actually looks good. It's usually the ones that actually look good that come back and get you. It's not the ones where you're kind of hesitant on it. It's the ones that look good that get you. Ryan Pepiot is probably rostered already. John Gray should be rostered already. I'm assuming you play Gray versus Washington at Kansas City.
Yes. Yeah.
My boy Yariel Rodriguez versus KC at Washington for about 3 to 4 innings each start. I'm still doing it.
I was going to say, potentially. Yeah. I'm still doing it because the pitch counts have been up. Like, I just think if he gets a little more efficient, I think Toronto would let him go five. So I'm throwing that for Rodriguez.
And then the Nats, Jake Irvin at Miami versus Toronto. And Jake Irvin's actually been intriguing in certain matchups this season.
Agreed. Like, he hasn't been complete Jake Irvin. At Miami's awesome. Versus Toronto's a little tougher, but God, it's just another one of those fringe and 15 teamers that could totally blow you up, but doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah, it doesn't sound horrible. So we'll see. It's at least it's a week with options, which is nice.
Matt's or Jake Irvin?
Ooh, Matt has the better matchups. I like Irvin as a better pitcher. I'll probably go Jake Irvin. Matt's is like yeah, the like when you right. set the waterfall. Or, like Matt's is probably behind Reed Garrett in my waterfall.
and actually, I mean that's a good point. Like Reed Garrett for me probably is above Jake Irvin, is above Feltner, yes. probably above Falter.
No, I do Falter, Trevor Rogers, and Feltner.
Ah, you're gonna get faltered this week.
Yep,
I can't wait.
Yep, it's gonna happen. And when it doesn't happen, it's gonna be glorious because you're gonna see that lead and tout just grow even more.
Yep.
So Doc Roto, if you're listening, you should go bid on him.
Yeah.
But all right, any final fab thoughts for the week before we hit up our awesome listener questions from the day?
No, covered it as usual, I think, in pretty good detail. I hope.
All right, so we'll start with the chat questions first. Moose Joe says, my son wants Bubba to tell him why the Niners drafted a white wide receiver. I'm not going to go there on this one, but Pearsall is very good. I was explaining it to Ryan before the show. Good wide receiver at Florida, so you're good there. Adam Lee says, I might go 7-8% on Al Suarez, Will Brennan, Ringifo, Mikel, or Will Brennan, Ringifo, and Mikel are around in 12s. I like
so that's Brennan, yeah, 7-8% of fab on Albert Suarez. It all depends if he stays in the rotation. That's the only thing.
Could yeah, I'd probably be more in like the $6 to $8 league in a 12 type world if I want him, but that's me.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Zucchini says, is Morrell getting squeezed? Maybe just a day off, but PCA Madrigal in. He was out versus right-handed. He's not getting squeezed. His defense has gotten better. Morrell's still playing, in my opinion. So wouldn't go that far just yet. Quinn Easy Camo, I think so. What do you do with – I guess I should put these on the thing. What do you do with Stott sitting versus lefties? You keep playing him because he won't sit for long. He's too good to be platooned.
Agreed. I hope it's just temporary. It's Whit Merrifield. Like, yeah, Bryson Stott will be back. Yeah. I think
Stott he's got two RBIs on Thursday, so give him a chance. Michael says, I'm worried about Seager. Barrels cut in half, hard hit down 16%, one homer and 102 plate appearances. That hernia recovery is hampering him. He's probably just behind. Didn't get a full spring. That's my guess. Could be wrong. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Yes, the hernia is something to, I guess, think about, but typically I wouldn't be worried. Late start.
And Michael says, Patrick Bailey put on weight and sitting well. More doubles than homers, but good batting average. Replaced Garver, Kirk, etc. I love Bailey. Talked about him as a deeper situation there as well.
And you drop Garver for him.
Most likely, yeah. I've never been a – Garver's so streaky. He's going to crush you most of the season. Eric Halterman says, the Phillies only have a few true everyday guys, and he's not one of them, but he's much more than a platoon guy. Completely agree. And when he starts playing better, he will not be platooning as often for, like you said, Whit Merrifield. All right, let's get the listener questions from the old Twitter here real quick. Beat Rick and Frank says, when is Joey Loperdito getting the call? That's a great question. That is out of my price range.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like you've got, they've got an outfield. They've got Tucker McCormick and Jake Myers. So we've got a DH. It's kind of not a spot. Yeah. Even if he did get called up, I don't know. Injuries be damned if he plays.
Either Singleton has to go or Abreu has to go. That's where it kind of comes down to right now. So depends. He wants to know what's wrong with Yvonne Herrera. All right. Let's have some fun with Yvonne Herrera. Because I don't think there's anything wrong.
Calling out your boy. Must have had a bad week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Herrera. Yeah, he's gone hitless in his last five games, and only three of those were starts. I am not concerned about Yvonne Herrera, who's got three home runs, striking out 22% of the time, 15% barrel rate, 42.5% hard hit rate. I'm okay with Yvonne Herrera at this point in time.
If you are, then I am.
And then the fun one's Chaz McCormick. I know Joe Arrico and I talked about him a couple weeks on our panic episode. So I'll give you the floor first here if you'd like, but he's another guy I'll briefly say I'm not worried about, but I'll see what you have to say first.
No, I mean, it's just someone who I don't, I'm not changing my eval on over 75 plate appearances. Like, yes, yeah. It's been bad. You know, the K's are always going to probably be an issue. It's the power hasn't been there, but skills can fluctuate just like stats can. And Chaz McCormick has had a double digit barrel rate in each of the three previous seasons, all of which were above 300 plate appearances, two of them above 400 plate appearances. So I'm taking stock in that much more than I am a slow 75 plate appearance start.
So. Yeah, the one barrel so far, that should change. He's popping the ball up a lot. Hopefully that changes a little bit. There's a lot. He's still walking 12%. I'm not overly concerned with him at this point in time. Our buddy Yancey Eaton, is Joey Bart good? This is
fun. Here we go. All right, this Bubba, here fun. You go.
I hope he is good because, Patrick Bailey's great, so I'm totally cool with that. I always thought Joey Bart never got his fair shake between health and other things. But the dude went deep again on Thursday. He's now played seven games with the Pirates. He's hitting .304 with three home runs. I know it's super small sample, 18% walk rate. He's already got two barrels in those seven games with three home runs, so that'll go on your list, Bloomfield. But also a 73% hard hit rate. Like, he's showing some talents. I think he's good. I think he's gonna get plenty of run because Pittsburgh's catching situation is garbage.
Yeah, that's so, what I was gonna add. Yep.
Yeah, so I think he's getting plenty of chances to prove if he's got it or not. And I think he's better than he was with the Giants. He's not this good, but I think he's going to be very serviceable, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, the strikeout rate has always been bad, and it's still really bad for Joey Bart, 35%. Like, that's really bad. You've got a .444 BABIP that's buoying the batting average for Joey Bart right now. So
that strikeout rate's Andy Pahez rate. It's pretty close.
Yeah, yes. two catcher streamer for me.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's going to have his ups and his downs, but I think he's much better than he was with the Giants.
What's this Pahez slander, man?
That's what are we doing? Having fun with you. It's me having fun with you. Yeah, Eric Alterman. I didn't realize Bart was already 27, but I guess we're all getting old. Yes, we are getting very old fast. Michael Cicchini says, in case I missed the chat, drop Lane Thomas for Willier Abreu, Profar, Kepler type. I would not drop Lane Thomas.
I would hold as much as you can. Lane Thomas is like a freaking stud.
And he's supposed to be out the minimum. Like, he's wearing a brace for his MCL sprain, but no crutches. He's walking around the locker room and stuff, so... Even if it's not to 10 days, I don't see it being like a long-term situation. Now, how will that affect his stealing bases?
That's a really good point. It's a really good point. And those ads are all fine ads. It's just do what you can to hold on the Lane.
Yeah, I'd hope there'd be somebody else you could maybe drop, but not Lane. And then
we've got a pronunciation compliment from
my favorite type of food. My favorite place to visit in the world is Italy. So there you go. Do what I can.
Six-star review.
And then he asks, drop Yariel Rodriguez. He'd be up Monday for a two-step, but Manoah lines up same day. I'm keeping Yariel. Like, I've made my point that if Manoah takes his spot, then Toronto might be one of the worstly ran organizations outside of the Chicago White Sox.
Agreed, Ed. Agreed, and I'd throw the Rockies in there too.
Yeah, like, I get the whole monitoring Yariel's innings. But at the same time, this is Alec Manoah who can't get double-A hitters out right now. Why are we doing this? What are we trying to prove here right now? So
agreed.
It's, if it was September and the Jays were 30 games out of first place and you want to get Manoah innings, okay, sounds good. But not right now. Then our buddy Timothy, who's in a lot of the leagues with us, what to do with Tommy Pham? The Sox seem to be in no hurry to call him up or even report on his progress. I have him in 15s and 12s team leagues. He's supposed to be up this weekend, Timothy. So unless something changes.
Yeah, could change, but that's kind of what the tea leaves are all saying. So we'll see.
And as Joe Rico says in the chat, Manoah's done. He has the full-blown yips.
Permanent yips.
Those are the permanent Chuck Knoblocks. But that'll do it. Bloomfield, any final thoughts on the week as we head into the weekend? You probably got T-ball coming up. You know, I got a preschool fundraiser on Saturday. I can't wait to run around with kids. It's going to be great. So what else going on? What do you got?
That's it. Just some T-ball. I also have to do a fundraiser. They gave us like 50 giant meat sticks to sell. So I have 50 like giant Slim Jims. God, that sounded bad.
Yeah.
That I need to sell with my kid at like $2 a pop for this Little League fundraiser.
Oh, man, I'm glad I could bite my tongue on this show. We're going to wrap it up there.
So I should not go into marketing and try and sell these.
Have fun selling your meat this week in Bloomfield. And I'll take care of my fundraiser. It's a farmer's market. I'm picking up produce from all my fields this weekend to sell on Saturday for the kids. So
a much less difference. Graphic description there. I like it.
But all right, everybody, thanks for listening. As always, you guys are great. The chat was fun. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanPHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 129, your week 6 Fab preview. Catch y'all next time.
Ryan Feltner.
Bailey Falter.